Well, good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, and this is the anniversary of the September 11th attack. A day of infamy, if there ever was one. The question is, what really happened that day? Was this an attack by 19 Islamic hijackers, or did the attack occur, but the building has come down because there were internal explosives? Well, one only has to point out the fact that there were 1,100 bodies that were never recovered. No little part of them, no little piece of bone, no fingernail, no nothing. There were 1,100 bodies that simply were vaporized in the Twin Towers. How could that possibly have happened? If the building simply pancaked on itself, why, certainly the bodies would have been mangled, crushed, but they would have been there, wouldn't they? And then most of the furniture and most of the telephones and everything in the buildings were simply vaporized. Where did those great clouds of smoke come from? Well, they came from the cement. But, of course, you know, ordinarily, if the building had pancaked, you would have had chunks of cement. You wouldn't have vaporized the cement and then, of course, created those great clouds of smoke when you see a controlled demolition of a building. Why, when the explosives go off, why you see similar small clouds, but there was nothing like this. But if you really want to know what happened that day, just watch and you can find it on the internet, the pictures of the Building 7 coming down at 5 o'clock.
And this is confirmed, Dr. Stan, by Griffin's new book.
Oh, well, you go right ahead.
David Ray Griffin has a new book out on the mysterious collapse of World Trade Center number 7, why the final official report about 9/11 is unscientific and false. As you were just describing, there's a lot of, I think, strong evidence that the first two towers, 1 and 2, came down, especially number 1, whose central core, which is what really holds the building up, wasn't even damaged by the plane because it hit the corner of the building. But World Trade Building number 7, which is some 40-some stories high, came down like a controlled demolition, and they claimed it was done by fire, and that's just impossible, literally, for a steel-framed building to come down by fire in a absolute symmetrical way, as it did. And David Ray Griffin just takes apart in his new book the NSIT, National Institute for Standards and Technology, report on World Trade Center, declaring that it was absolutely a fraudulent report, defying physics, defying the science. This was a paid cover-up to scientists, and it doesn't speak well of our scientific community when they can be paid off to do these types of reports to justify a government position.
Amen. And I'm for having David Ray Griffin will be on a guest on our program in about 2 or 3 weeks, but you go right ahead.
Well, the main story for today's World Affairs Brief is my commentary on Obama's speech on health care. It's just packed with lies and false promises. It's just egregious, frankly. The bold-faced lies, he said. In fact, Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina said it all when he yelled openly from the floor of the House, "You lie," at President Obama during his speech to Congress. He later apologized for his lack of civility, but he needn't have. There were several really big whoppers that Obama told, which I will shortly cover. Wilson's rebuff came specifically after the president labeled critic of his bill liars for arguing that illegal aliens would be covered under the plan. While not specifically true, it is effectively true, since the bill lacks virtually any provision or demand to check the legal status of anyone before they apply for entrance to the health care system. And this week, of course, there are certain fundamentals of health care economics that totally contradict Obama's claims that this huge expansion of the health care system will literally pay for itself, and that he can guarantee that no one will have to give up any of the coverage that they now have. Now, sure, almost everyone wants cheaper health care and universal access, especially those with major health problems. or who know that they're heading for major health problems. The only exceptions are people like myself who have never been in the establishment medical system, never had insurance, because I don't use what insurance pays for. They only pay for the drug culture of the establishment medicine, which I don't believe in using. I use natural medicine, nutrition to stay healthy, and use alternative medicine to cure any minor problems that I may have. And we've got two generations in a family with this type of a system, and we don't want their insurance. Anyway, the current system is a form of socialism because, and I mean that, just the current system is a form of socialism because insurance companies pool the costs of treating everyone and come up with a one premium that fits all subscribers. So the unhealthy ones have their expensive medical procedures subsidized by the healthy ones who don't use the system. The healthy stay in the system because their employer is either paying for it or they fear it is inevitable that they will join the ranks of the unhealthy someday. Insurance systems jockey for position and profits relative to the competition by restricting unnecessary services, eliminating coverage for pre-existing conditions, and negotiating fixed contracts for doctor services where possible. They also steer away from states that mandate certain universal coverages that adds to the cost of servicing their pool members. Like Alabama, almost 90% of all the insurance is covered by one insurance company. That's because they're one of the biggest, and nobody else wants to deal with Alabama's mandates, and so they basically get out of the market. But here's my analysis of the economic and nutritional fundamentals that no amount of wishful thinking is going to change relative to this healthcare system. Number one, the average American's eating habits are horrible and getting worse. The small increase in adding organic foods to the diet for a small percentage of Americans is not even coming close to counterbalancing the big negative factors. Excessive food quantity, that's number one, not enough raw foods, way too much sugar, way too much meat, too much nutrient-deficient processed food, and high quantities of damaged chemical additives, including preservatives, MSG, imitation sugars, environmental pollutants, including chlorinated and fluorinated water supplies. All of this ensures that American health problems will continue to rise, regardless of the system that treats them.
And you hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen right here at the American Freedom Network.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen Power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And, Joel, you go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about the fundamentals about American health care and systems, which means that it cannot be fixed, in my opinion, by anything that's being proposed. I first of all started out by saying that American health is getting worse because of bad diet, and that's not changing. Number two, the establishment health care system itself, with its total reliance on drugs and surgery, cannot fix these American health problems. Only mask and ameliorate the symptoms and deal with the massive side effects of drugs, which are constant. They, as you know, as a medical doctor, they prescribe drugs, and then they have to prescribe another one for the side effects of that, and another one, and switch. They continue to play this roulette system of finding drugs that you know, keep the systems symptoms down. But this does not fix the root problem, which often cannot be fixed, because people's bad nutrition has destroyed glands and made it so they cannot properly react to life. And surgery is wonderful in repairing damage from accidents, but most surgery deals with failed organs that is preventable. And once the organs fail, then the surgery, you know, gives them a few more years of life, but it's very expensive. And, you know, and even most heart surgeons know this, that it's totally preventable, and yet they have to continue to deal with these plumbing jobs on people's internal plumbing, and it isn't really a long-term fix, but it's very expensive. The overall system, including government regulators, medical boards, medical colleges, pharmacies, and even insurance companies, are controlled by protocols dictated by and suborned by drug company money. These protocols, especially those related to internal medicine, I believe, are hostile in the extreme to natural health practitioner methods that are cheaper and more effective in the long run. They don't use drugs, and medically trained doctors give lip service to prevention, but don't really have a good understanding of nutrition and the endocrine health that is a key to good health and longevity. So, to recap, one is that the nutrition of Americans is very poor and getting worse. Number two, the establishment health care establishment system can't fix the problem. And number three, the insurance system does not give enough incentives to people to stay out of the system and take responsibility for their own health, much less pay the price necessary to induce them to avoid junk food and overeating. No system will work or be affordable without forcing people to avoid bad habits and be more careful. The blame lies mostly with Congress and Big Pharma for crafting the tax incentives and making corporate health insurance for employees deductible. When health insurance is paid for mostly by business, passing the cost on to the consumers, which isn't working, by the way, now that you can't pass the cost, they need to cut costs, and that's why people, businesses are dropping insurance, even with the tax deductibility. It distances the cost of health care significantly from the individual responsible for his bad eating habits, allowing people to think they're getting a freebie and that their health problems can be fixed without much cost, hence little or no incentive to stay healthy. People need to fear the cost of bad habits if they're ever going to change their behavior. Now, currently the only fear they have is the cost of having no insurance, which doesn't cause them to eat better, but rather to demand cheap universal health care from government, which Obama is taking advantage of, and all the Democrats, complaining why everybody's demanding health care. And that's because they have put themselves in a hurt locker of bad decisions, bad health, bad eating, and now they want the government to bail them out. And, of course, they want to force every one of us who are healthy into the system so that we help pay for this. And I dislike it, just like I dislike having to pay for public schools that I've never used, because we don't use them, and we don't agree that they provide a good basic education for people. Healthcare economists fail to realize that the dramatic rise in healthcare costs is not only because of bad eating habits, but lack of consumer resistance to cost increases and unnecessary and expensive tests, since the insurance company pays, not the user. Now, costs only stabilize when consumer resistance is high. That's an internal law of the free market. When cheaper natural alternatives are allowed, you know, people will naturally go to those if they're having to pay. But if they don't have to pay and the insurance company pays, then they don't have to pay a significant premium because their company is paying, then there's no resistance to these costs. And that's why the medical costs have increased dramatically. And that's not going to go away by providing universal insurance. That is, in fact, going to drive more people into the system because it's all now essentially free, especially now that the government's providing or proposing to provide a cheaper alternative. So I've given my basic fundamentals of why the universal access to insurance is not going to solve the problem, either of cost increases. It will uniformly end up in rationing, because when you have more people joining a system which is not allowed to pass on the cost to the consumers, and there's going to be a demand that everybody in the healthcare field take cuts, I mean, they're not going to increase the amount of services without incentives to be paid. And eventually, if costs continue to increase as they should, with everybody joining the system without any incentives to eat healthier, there's going to be a cost push relationship that people are going to demand price controls, and price controls will lead to shortages, which means rationing, just like every other socialist health control system in the world. So that's my fundamental analysis. Any comment from you, Dr. Stan, on that?
Well, I agree with everything you said. There is one fascinating young man. His name, he's an orthopedic surgeon named David Janda, and he is actually points out that there are two parts to the Obama health care bill, part one, part two. They're talking about part two because part one is already passed. It was in the supplement bill that was passed when nobody read it. And there they've set up the rationing board. They call it Federal Coordinating Council. And they've put out $1 billion. These are going to be boards that are going to determine how medicine will be practiced, what is cost effective. And the rationing boards, the death panels, are already there. And Obama can say, there are no death panels in my legislation. Of course, they've already passed them, and he knows that. And the fact that nobody has really talked about that except Janda, who's written about it a couple of places and certainly talked to Congress about it, totally blacked out by the controlled media, the death panels are already there.
That's very interesting. Well, you know, the Republican response... by Representative Charles, do you pronounce that Bustani a Republican of Louisiana, put forth, because he was a doctor, he had some good ideas following the lines recommended by Whole Foods CEO John Mackey. Number one, individuals and small businesses and other groups should be able to join together to get health insurance at lower prices, the same way business do, and have that. You know, if the businesses are going to make a tax deductible, should be tax deductible, to be fair, to individuals as well. Number two, insurance should be able to offer incentives for wellness care and prevention. But you have, of course, my comment is you have to break the establishment medical monopoly over state regulatory boards to allow for natural alternatives, and that's not going to happen. And that's something he says is particularly important to me. I operated on too many people who could have avoided surgery if they'd made simple, healthier choices earlier in life. He was a heart surgeon. Number three, we need to establish tough liability reform standards, encourage speedy resolution of claims, and deter junk lawsuits that drive up the cost of care. And four, let's talk about letting families and businesses buy insurance across state lines. I and many other Republicans believe that that will provide real choice and competition to lower health insurance. That's true. Bustani and Republicans who vetted his speech also had some very bad ideas. Number one, all individuals should have access to coverage regardless of pre-existing conditions. I mean, Dr. Stan, you cannot force insurance and their pool of people who are paying premiums to accept in the most expensive pre-existing and keep the premiums the same. You just can't have it both.
No, you can't.
You know, it's all fine and good to say, oh, these poor people's pre-existing ought to be able to come in, but they've got pre-existing positions and they need to pay a higher price. I mean, you can't just say,
There should be an insurance policy available for people with pre-existing conditions, but, as you say, at a higher price, and those can be mandated by the state, and the companies will actually do it. They have that here in California. My son had pre-existing conditions. Thanks to the vaccination programs he had in the military, he got intractable asthma, almost died from it. But we had to pay a much higher premium, but at least we could get him covered. But it was not other people weren't paying for his additional liability, we were paying for it, and that can be done. But, of course, they're not looking for a solution. They want the problem to justify this, what I call the Kevorkian health care bill.
That's right. You know, this is typical of the socialist draw, is that to proclaim that everybody needs to be treated equally. Forcing the pool of insured to accept high-maintenance people in the system will raise costs dramatically. No one has the right to force others to pay for or subsidize their own health problems, except in your son's case, for example. If this was vaccine-related to the military, I mean, the military ought to take responsibility for that, and they don't, as you know. If the government picks up the extra costs, of course, huge deficits will result. Now, I objected to Bustani and the Republicans pandering to several issues, just like the Democrats. They claim it's clear the American people want health care. But at what cost, I say? You know, it does nothing to say everybody wants to have their health thing paid for. But that's not anyone's right. It's not a fundamental right to have free health care. It's not a fundamental right to have education. These things are benefits that must be paid for in accordance with the degree and amount of care that you want. This
and
Congress could pass. Go ahead.
Where everybody misses this, we should certainly have a system of local county hospitals, which we had 50 years ago, where the truly indigent and the people who could not afford to pay the full cost or part cost could get health care. But it was funded locally, not at the national level. This is the thing. They destroyed that system intentionally because they didn't want people to be able to get health care locally or the doctors to be able to afford to go and give their care for nothing, because they ultimately wanted to control it. And so they destroyed a system that works, and now they want to put in a system that is going to be a disaster.
Well, of course, what's added to that is the flooding of illegal aliens in this country who the courts have ruled have access to free health care, you know, at emergency rooms and force hospitals to pay for it. And I disagree with those court rulings, and that's where the courts should have had no power. I also disagree philosophically, even with the county health system, if they're using local tax money. Socialism is wrong whether you use local tax money or federal tax money. It doesn't make it right just because they tax us locally to pay for indigent services. The point is that all charity should be voluntary. And I think at that rate, you know, charity always is more efficient when it's local. You take United Way or any of the national charities or even the Red Cross, and they're extremely inefficient with huge overheads. Because they're big national organizations, and you're too far removed from the contributor to the bureaucrat who's making the decision who gets the money. And typically, big organizations don't make good judgments about who's worthy of the aid and who's not. Because a person is poor doesn't mean that he's necessarily worthy. There are a lot of people who are poor because of making chronic bad judgments, and those people need to pay a price for those things, not having automatic access to charity funds as they do when it's run by government. Anyway, that's my opinion of charity through government taxation.
Well, I think one of the biggest things about health care is they're actually poisoning the American people. Genetically modified foods are poisoning the people. Sperm counts are down all throughout the world in large part. At least in part, we know because of the genetically modified food. Other countries have outlawed it. It's allowed here. They're poisonous with aspartame and MSG in our food. They're poisonous with fluoride in our water and the other products that go along with hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is used, which increases the lead content in people's bodies and minds and brains. And they're poisonous with the mercury in the vaccines. They know exactly what they're doing. They're poisonous with so many of the pesticides and insecticides that they're using. Rather than using something safe like DDT, they're using all sorts of poison. They know exactly what they're doing. Here in California, they wanted to spray the populace for the brown apple moth. Fortunately, we were able to head that off thanks to the radical liberals. One time they were on the right side. So we need to stop poisoning the American people. We want to maintain our health. We'll be right back with Joel.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
You've heard of it, the hair of the dog that bit you. A solution for your morning woes when you've had too much to drink. Each 12-ounce can of hair of the dog provides you with a natural, smooth energy boost and is a good liver detoxifier, even if you don't drink alcohol. To order hair of the dog or the 7 other awesome liquid nutrition products, go to www.liquidnutrition.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marina reminds all parents that children in school meet new friends and experience new situations, some of which involve drugs or alcohol. Young people have now found new drugs called crystal meth and ecstasy. These are very dangerous and deadly, so parents, educate yourself about these and other drugs and talk to your children. Don't let things like curiosity and peer pressure influence your child's life. This message was courtesy of Cassie and Derek at Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marina, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Joel, is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, would you like to get out your access information so people would know how to get in touch with you, and I hope that they'll want to go ahead and subscribe to your publication. Go right ahead.
The easiest way for people to view the World Affairs Brief is to go to my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. Front and center on the page is a synopsis of the current brief, which will change today about mid-morning. With the current brief that we're talking about today, people can also get a free sample copy. There is a subscription for the World Affairs Brief. It's only $16 for the rest of the year. But they can get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And I encourage people to go to the website to look at the major news stories that we post there. They're the best of the conventional news stories, so it saves people an awful lot of searching through the net because our researchers can take advantage of the volunteer researchers I have who do that.
Very good. Okay, fine. Well, I certainly encourage people to get the World Affairs Brief. I certainly go to that website every morning as soon as I finish my emails, and I look forward every Friday to getting the Joel's analysis, which, of course, you have to subscribe to get. But he does an excellent job of summarizing the news, the information you're not going to get elsewhere, and the analysis of that information, because there's an organized effort to confuse the American people. So you go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about Obama's speech on health care, the grand deception. Ed Rogers wrote in the Washington Post that, quote, Obama's eloquent speech tonight was a sugar cube that may produce a 48-hour high. The speech was a net plus, but nothing substantive was resolved. He says the rhetoric and the facts don't match, and that's really true. The call for a public plan is alive and well. The left and the unions are happy, and the vulnerable Democrats facing re-election in 2010 are still worried. Nothing in the speech suggested that the plan will do anything other than to add to America's debt, despite the fact, of course, that Obama is claiming that this will not cost a single penny, that will not be self-sustaining. Nothing in the speech makes seniors, he says, believe that they will not face Medicare cuts. The emotions that drove the summer town hall confrontations are still as intense as before the speech. Absolutely spot on. Here's my review of Obama's most egregious distortions. First, Obama misrepresented the blame for rising costs. He said, we spent 1.5 times more per person than any other country, but we aren't any healthier for it. And my response is, we never will be. By shielding the end user from the cost consequences of the bad eating habits, Americans have some of the worst diet in the world because it's so processed and done by major corporate America. This is one of the reasons that insurance premiums, this is Obama again, this is one of the reasons that insurance premiums have gone up 3 times faster than wages. He's wrong on that. It's because there's no resistance to the cost and price increases because insurance pays. Insurance is the problem about rising costs. If nobody had insurance, I can guarantee you that healthcare cost and healthcare industry would be probably 5 times smaller in the United States if there were no insurance. Now, he says it's why so many employers, especially small businesses, are forcing their employees to pay more for insurance or are dropping their coverage entirely. My comment, this is exactly a sound free market response to what eventually would help people change their habits. This would be allowed to continue, but it's not. They want more government payment and more industry payment. Second, he said, $1,000 per year per person pays for somebody else's emergency room and charitable care. What he fails to say, however, is that almost two-thirds of that cost is for illegal aliens. Even absorbing, now this is important to understand, even absorbing these costs into the system of free emergency and charitable care, that would be less than half of what economists estimate would cost for a public subsidized insurance plan to bring them into the insurance system. In other words, a public plan would double the amount per person. It wouldn't be cheaper than simply paying for, even including all the illegals in health emergency rooms. The government option that Obama is proposing would be twice that cost. Third, Obama made the huge leap of complaining about current medical system being unsustainable burden on taxpayers. If we do nothing, he says, to slow these skyrocketing costs, we will eventually be spending more on Medicare and Medicaid than any other government program combined. Well, my response, yes, indeed, in expanding the system to include all people with pre-existing conditions will only increase these costs. Yet Obama has the audacity to claim, first, I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficits, either now or in the future, period. I mean, this is a massive lie. This is a virtual impossibility. I couldn't believe it when I heard this, Dr. Stan. To have the audacity to say something that no one from here to the planet Mars could ever anticipate would not increase our deficits. And he will sign it. It's just a virtual lie. And he says, and to prove I'm serious, there will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promised don't materialize. Well, I can guarantee you that Congress won't follow through on any of that any more than they do with an annual balanced budget, which is required by law. They will simply employ magic accounting tricks like they do now to hide current deficits. Fourth, Obama promised that first, if any among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, Medicaid or Medicaid, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have. Let me repeat this, and this is a big lie technique, to absolutely assure people multiple times that something you're saying is true, and people say, well, it must be true. I mean, he wouldn't get away with saying this twice unless it were true, but it's a big lie. He says, let me repeat, nothing in our plan requires you to change what you have. Now, this is a typical
thing is that it doesn't require you to change. You can keep your Medicare. The trouble is they're going to ration access to health care. They've already set up the panels, the Federal Coordinating Council, set up under the stimulus bill, and nobody even understands They've appropriated $1 billion. They've appointed the people who are going to lay out the plan to ration access to health care, and that's what's going to happen to Medicare. You're going to have Medicare. It's just that they're going to change your coverage, and now the bureaucrats are going to decide whether it's cost-efficient to take care of people or provide any extraordinary care to people over 65 years of age. That's what it's all about. And, of course, they're simply lying to the American people, and they know they're lying. But then if they told the people the truth, they told the older people, we're going to start limiting your access to health care because, after all, it's too expensive to take care of you, there'd be a tremendous outcry, even worse than there is now.
Well, while that is true, let me explain how this affects private medical insurance, which he claims this plan will not require your employer to change the coverage. The point is, when you mandate additional benefits of the provider of the insurance without allowing him to increase or pass the costs on, because that would change your coverage, this is a typical socialist ploy. It's pushing more through a funnel and not allowing the cost to rise proportionally. What Obama doesn't say is that forcing existing insurers to accept millions of unhealthy users into the pool without raising costs will drive them to ration care, cut salaries, or go out of business. And if you go out of business, you are being forced to change your coverage. If none of the private insurances under a clamp down, you can't raise your prices, but you must offer more benefits, I mean, that's an impossible business solution. That always ends up, as all price controls do, with no more profit, and insurance companies will then quit, and then people will lose their coverage.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skaus.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
You may not plant 250,000 acres every season or tend 50,000 head of cattle, but it's good to know that your equipment could. From farming and cattle handling to goat and equine management, Charter Equipment is used, trusted, and built by pros using more than 60 years of know-how, which is just one of the reasons we are the official provider of equine and livestock management equipment for the World Equestrian Games. To find a farm and ranch store near you, visit tartergate.com. Tartar, working harder since 1945.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest Joel Skousen, and we're on the last segment of the program this morning. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about this push-cost squeeze that Obama is forcing on the private insurance companies, which will drive them out of business. Want more proof? Obama admitted, quote, as soon as I sign this bill, it will be against the law for insurance companies to drop your coverage when you get sick or water it down when you need it most. They will no longer be able to place some arbitrary cap on the amount of coverage you can receive in a given year or lifetime. You will place a limit we will place a limit on how much you can be charged for out-of-pocket expenses. The insurance companies will be required to cover, with no extra charge, routine checkups and preventative care like mammograms and colonoscopies, because there's no reason we shouldn't be catching diseases like breast cancer and colon cancer before they get worse. Now, you see, that's exactly what I'm saying. You are limiting the ability. You can't charge more. You have to provide more things, and that's a push-cost squeeze that will eventually deration care. If you think that your existing plan will stay in business under these and other provisions that will surely be added later, you're kidding yourself. It's also important to understand that mammograms have been proven not to increase the survival rate of cancer, and colonoscopies as well. And even though I have used them specifically to check on certain problems with family members, which we paid for ourselves, nevertheless, the statistics overall show that it, in fact, is not cost-effective to be giving more of these things. Only when there are actual symptoms that need to be checked on.
And actually, mammograms submit the breast to increased radiation. In many instances, create more problems than they solve. So, I mean, all of this, so much of the so-called preventive medicine really is not cost-effective. And yet he's going to insist that it be carried out, and he's going to simply bankrupt the private insurance policies, but that's what it's about. You bankrupt the private insurance policies and companies, then, of course, the government can control everything. They know what they're doing. It's diabolical. And, of course, they're going to limit access to health care.
Well, fifth, Obama claims that his new market for insurance exchanges will provide voluntary incentives for insurance companies to compete by joining forces in pools. He says this is how large companies and government employees get affordable insurance. It's how everyone in this Congress gets affordable insurance. Well, not at all. Congress will get cradle-to-grave protection at zero cost to themselves. They pay no premiums. No private company can do that. All insurance companies, he says, that want access to this marketplace will have to abide by the consumer protections I mentioned. So that doesn't say that it's voluntary and it will add huge costs. He says this exchange will take effect in 4 years. Meaning it becomes mandatory in 4 years, which will cause people's existing plans to change and become more expensive or go out of business. Sixth, Obama claims the public option will not destroy the private market. This is incredible. For those who can't get insurance today in the private market because they have pre-existing conditions, we will immediately offer low-cost public coverage that will protect you against financial ruin if you become seriously ill. And who will pay? The taxpayer will pay, of course. The additional step we can take is to keep insurance companies honest by making a not-for-profit public option available. Let me be clear, he says. It would only be an option for those who don't have insurance. No one would be forced to choose it, my response, but the low subsidized price would guarantee people would choose it. And it would not impact those of you who already have insurance. And I say, except for the fact that the lower price would cause many to switch over, leaving existing companies with a shrinking pool of payers. And all they have to do is quit their insurance, and then they join the force of the people who don't have insurance, which makes them eligible for the public option. He says insurance companies don't like this idea. They argue that these private companies can't fairly compete with the government, and they'd be right if taxpayers were subsidizing this public insurance option. But they won't be, says Obama. Really? Every government medical program runs in the red eventually. A subsidy is politically certain once people get used to the cheap benefits and don't want to pay for the rising prices. Obama says, I have insisted that any private insurance company, the public option, would have to be self-sufficient and rely on the premiums it collects. My response, like the post office? The post office is running higher and higher deficits each year and will have to eventually be bailed out by the taxpayer.
And like Amtrak, you know, actually it would be cheaper just to buy everybody an airline ticket than to subsidize Amtrak. Just give them all airline tickets, free airline tickets, and do away with Amtrak.
He says by avoiding some of the overhead that gets eaten up by private companies, excessive administrative costs, and executive salaries, we could provide a good deal for consumers. This is a socialist pipe dream. Government companies have never saved on costs compared to for-profit companies. Never. Without the profit motive, salaries rise. They're too generous to the unions, just like the post office. That's what's sinking the post office. Their union contracts don't allow for them to fire people. They have to buy them off for millions of dollars. And they're not allowed to reduce their wages, as a private company would have to do. In seventh, Obama lied in his campaign about being against mandatory participation. He proposed during the campaign, as he does now, that the larger businesses would be required to offer insurance. But he rejected the idea of requiring individuals to obtain insurance. And he said people would get insurance without being forced to do if the coverage was made affordable. And he repeatedly criticized Hillary Clinton for proposing mandatory coverage. And now the great demagogue says there may still be companies that refuse to do right by their workers, as if health care were a right. The problem is such irresponsible behavior costs all the rest of us money. If there are affordable options and people don't sign up, it means we pay for their expensive emergency room visits. Now, this is a pervasive and spurious argument. Just because the government and the courts force hospitals to treat indigent people, mostly illegals, doesn't give them the right to force everyone else to buy insurance or control their choices. This would be like someone coming into your house and saying, he's going to guarantee your home against damage, and then use that one-sided promise, which is never legal in a court of law, to control what you do in your home. I mean, we would say, we'd laugh at them, you can't control what I say. You want to pay for what you want to pay for, that's fine, but you have no control. Well, he says, under my plan, individuals would be required to carry basic health insurance, just like most states require you to carry auto insurance. Now, this is extremely defective logic. Auto insurance or financial responsibility laws are justifiable only because driving a vehicle causes occasional damage to other people's property. Lack
Joe,
of health
we're out
insurance
of time.
Only
I wish
affects
you
the
go
person.
On, but thanks so much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next
pleasure,
week.
Dr. Stan.
Thanks so much.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
As parents, we're entrusted with a tremendous responsibility to raise and educate our children. This school year, promise yourself that you will get more involved with your child's school. Join the PTA, volunteer for special events, or even try to help with homework. Parents, show your children that school is cool and drugs are for fools. That's from Restore Health and Counseling, serving the Northeast Denver area with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adults and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehab. Visit Restore Health Counseling at 4705 Paris Street in Denver, or visit us online at rhctherapy.com or inquire by calling 303-373-1188.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly I hope you enjoy the conversations with Joel Skousen. Now, I would comment that we had a wonderful interview with Dr. Janda last night. You can go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. It was the 9 o'clock program on the 10th of September, where he tells you about the two parts of the Obama health care plan. Part one has already been enacted with the death panels. They call them the Federal Coordinating Council, I think that's it. A member of that, of course, is Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who is the brother of Rahm Emanuel. And Dr. Emanuel has talked about how terrible the Hippocratic Oath is, that doctors have wedded to it to try to save human lives, how terrible that is. And Dr. Emanuel has written extensively about certainly these concepts of euthanasia, allowing people to die. This is a man on the President's Health Care Council. You know what it's all about. It is all about rationing health care. These people really believe in euthanasia. Do you honestly want to turn over your health care and the health care of your loved ones to government bureaucrats who are wedded and dedicated to euthanasia and population control, because that's what it's all about? Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a plan to kill off the majority of the people in our nation. You need to get our four tapes set on genetically modified food. I mean, GMO food. They really are putting things in this that will destroy fertility and endanger the health of the people. And they know what they're doing. In Europe, they've outlawed them. They're being utilized here. America is under attack, but not from without, from within. And they're poisoning us with aspartame. We have a four-tape set on MSG and aspartame. They're poisoning us with mercury in our vaccines and mercury in our fillings. We have four-tape sets on mercury. They're poisoning us with fluoride. We have four-tape set on water fluoridation, a couple of them. We have my talk on the hidden agenda and a great syllabus. You need to understand how they are intentionally and purposely damaging our health. We have a great new 4CD set on the swine flu vaccine. You need to get that to understand that this is a dangerous vaccine, should not be taken. How do we know it's dangerous? Because the vaccine companies don't trust it. They've demanded legislation that will limit them from liability. They cannot be sued no matter how, what they do. And ladies and gentlemen, if the vaccine companies believed in vaccines, why would they insist that they couldn't be sued for the product they're going to produce? Because they know it isn't safe. And they know there are going to be terrible complications. And they're saying, well, we won't produce any vaccines at all unless you do what we say. And I say, why, we're just, they're not going to do it. And if you don't believe in your vaccines enough to stand behind them, then I don't believe in your vaccines enough to be willing to take them. Oh, and I will certainly speak out against them until you show that you believe in the vaccine products you're producing. And they don't believe in them. That's why legislation's been enacted that you can't sue a vaccine company. If they were safe, you wouldn't need the legislation, would you? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call. Get the information. Go to our website. We've got a lot of great articles there. They're archived up on our website at radioliberty.com. You can watch our videos. You can watch our DVDs. You can read our newsletters. Some of them on vaccinations written back in 2005, 2006, but still very apropos to what's going on today. And we're out of time. Please remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day conference on the 25th of October. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our vision, our protection. Till Monday, may the Lord be with you.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat.